Good morning. For the faithful few who have braved a little bit of snow. I grew up in Idaho, so I don't know if this is it's snowy, but anyway. So the brave ones are here, and the others are all hopefully watching online. Delighted to have you here, worship service of the First Baptist Church of Ann Arbor, Michigan. I'm Rick Mixon, the transitional pastor here. Our director of community life, Zan Morgan, is on sabbatical for another couple of weeks. We're missing her. We have a new printer in the office, a new copy machine in the office this morning, so printing was an adventure. But here we are. A couple of announcements I want to call your attention to. The bulletin does say that after fellowship time, we'll be doing the sharing our histories again. That was last Sunday. It just didn't get changed in the bulletin. After fellowship time, we'll, those of you who like to meet in the parlor, we'll talk a little bit more about spirituals. This week and next week, in honor of Black History Month, I'm focusing on a couple of meaningful spirituals and following the work of Howard Thurman, and I have a couple of little books, lectures that he did on spirituals that we can spend some time looking at. Other announcements include LJ is off this morning. His class on Mark will pick up again next week, I think. A couple of weeks we're going to go bowling. Let's see. We're finishing up the past, in a way, of our Transform Through Transition. There's, I think, our fifth river chart is up. And especially this week, you're asked to add your own tributary to the river because it covers a time period which ought to include most of you. So take a look at that when you're in the hallway, either on your way downstairs for fellowship or after the worship service this morning. Tomorrow we begin again our hospitality work of our daytime warming center downstairs. If you can help with that, you can see there's an announcement in your bulletin about it. And I think, oh yes, the important, coming up in March and April, we'll be entering the second phase of our Transform Through Transition work, and we'll be doing, on a couple of dates in March and April, we'll be doing a series of home meetings, small group home meetings, and I've been alerted that not enough of us have signed up yet, so if you have not signed up to participate in one of those dates for the small group meeting, please, please sign up. It's really important work. The work that we're generating out of these Transform Through Transmission events will go into the church's profile, and the church's profile is essential to the search process in terms of matching what this church is all about to potential pastoral leaders who will match and serve the church well. So please sign up for one of those small groups, like the one in March and one in April. The information is in your order of worship. Gretchen.
The responsive call to worship. Happy are you who do not heed the advice of evil ones, or take the path of deceivers, or sit in the chambers of the haughty. Because of this, you are like trees planted by fresh streams of water, yielding your fruit in season, holding your leaves without fail. Your future is assured. The just and merciful one is a vigilant companion of all on the way of justice and mercy. The corrupt and vengeful trudge the path of destruction.
We are bound to this freedom road, prisoners of the soul, destined for the land where roaming and medium are banished, destined for the land of joy and peace.
May it be so.
In lieu of a traditional opening prayer, we have this opening reflection from the great poet Maya Angelou from her On the Pulse of Morning. A rock, a river, a tree, hosts to species long since departed.
Today the rock cries out to us, clearly, forcefully. Come, you may stand upon my back and face your distant destiny. But seek no haven in my shadow. I will give you no hiding place down here.
You created only a little lower than the angels, have crouched too long in the bruising darkness, have lain too long face down in ignorance, your mouths spelling words armed for slaughter.
The rock cries out today, you may stand on me, but do not hide your face across the wall of the world. A river sings a beautiful song. Come rest here by my side. Each of you a bordered country, delicate and strangely made proud.
Today I call you to my riverside. If you will study war no more, come clad in peace, and I will sing the songs the Creator gave to me when I and the tree and the stone were one. The river sings and sings on. There is a true yearning to respond to the singing river and the wise rock.
Come to me here beside the river. Plant yourself beside me here beside the river. Each of you, descendant of some passed on traveler, has been paid for.
Bought, sold, stolen, arriving on a nightmare, praying for a dream. Here, root yourselves beside me. I am the tree planted by the river, which will not be moved. I, the rock, I, the river, I, the tree, I am yours. Your passages have been paid.
Lift up your faces. You have a piercing need for this bright morning dawning for you. History, despite its wrenching pain, cannot be unlived, and if faced with courage, need not be lived again. Lift up your eyes upon the day breaking for you. Give birth again to the dream.
Lift up your hearts. Each new hour holds new chances for new beginnings.
Do not be wedded forever to fear, yoked eternally to brutishness. The horizon leans forward, offering you space to place new steps of change.
Here on the pulse of this fine day, you may have the courage to look up and out upon me, the rock, the river, the tree, your country.
Here on the pulse of this new day, you may have the grace to look up and out and into your sister's eyes, into your brother's face, your country, and say simply, very simply, with hope, good morning. These words of God to us from Jeremiah 17, 5 through 10. Thus says the Holy One, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from God. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in God, whose trust is the Holy One. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Holy One, test the mind and search the heart to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings.
And from Revelation, the 22nd chapter, these five verses, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing cursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Good morning. You're the brave ones. You came out in the snow. You like snow? Anybody like snow? You like snow? Play in the snow? You like to move. Oh, sign this one up. He likes to move snow out of the driveway. So. Well, you can go play in the snow later if you want. Make snow persons, huh? But for now, we're going to talk about this. What is this? What is it?
Ice.
No, it's not ice. What is it?
A river.
It's a river. Do you know what river it is?
Yeah.
What? You don't know. It's water, that's for sure. What river flows right through Ann Arbor, Michigan? Anybody know? What? The Huron River. Is the Huron River deep? Anybody know? It is in places. It is. I saw pictures of people floating on it, right on the top of it, on rafts. But I think you only do that in the summertime. You wouldn't want to float down the river today, would you? It's kind of cold for that. Huh? So a long time ago, there were people who owned other people. You think that's a good idea? You think people should own other people? No, I don't think that's a very good idea. But that happened in this country a long time ago. And some of those people who were owned try to get away, to get to freedom. And to get to freedom, they had to cross what? Well, maybe not the Huron River, but some river in Virginia or North Carolina or Kentucky, places that maybe you've never been. But they had to go across the river. And they sang these songs called spirituals. And some of those songs were signals that would say, come over here. And this is a good place to cross the river and you'll be safe, right? So one of those songs we're going to sing in later, Chris is going to sing for us. You probably won't be here, but it's called Deep River. And it talks about how Deep River, on the other side of the Deep River, there's freedom, that nobody owns you anymore. You think, huh? Your grandpa's going to sing it. That is right. So anyway, so sometimes you have to cross the river to get to the other side to a better place. Okay? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that rivers flow on, that rivers bring life, that rivers provide the water that we need, and that rivers can mark the way to freedom. We pray that you would help us to be free and loving and caring and compassionate for people who are not like us, and that we'll never try to own anybody or tell other people what to do in a mean way. We thank you for the gift of Jesus who loved all people. Amen. Amen. Since we're focused on, especially on Howard Thurman's work on spirituals this morning, I thought I would share this prayer reflection from Howard Thurman, the great mystic, preacher, prophet. Thurman prays for the Holy Spirit to be present within people gathered in community. In many-sided activities, there is so much that engages the mind and ensnares the emotions that again and again we are wanderers, lost in the midst of our own private and collective wilderness with no sense of being at home anywhere, in anything, at any time. Our enthusiasms wax hot and cold. It's wonderful, therefore, to sit together, to be enveloped by a single moment and feel the presence and sense the lights and shadows of those who sit near us. It is good to be caught in the creative silence, surrounded by the brooding presence of God. And perchance, as we wait together in the quietness, some new light may be thrown upon old problems. Some fresh hope may give wings to spirit which despair is for the familiar. Perhaps a sense of forgiveness for sins committed, for errors done, for blundering stupidities that have wrought havoc in other people's lives. All this may be the miracle for us as we wait together in the quietness. And in the stillness, God, you know that there are joys and concerns that dwell in our hearts. Some of those lay heavily on us. We live in a tough time. We have hope for a better day. We pray for those who are used and abused in any way, that they may find freedom, and that all of those who in any way are pushed to the outside may find a place at the table as full participants, as welcome members of your family. We pray for an end to war, an end to foolishness, an end to violence. We pray for compassion, for health and wholeness, for well-being, for all of your creation. And we lift up these names of specific concern this morning for Audrey Bond and her family on the death of her uncle, for Bob Reynolds, for Rob Snyder, Roberta House, Mervyn Newcart, Esther Floyd, Betty Gerstler, David Gregg, John Vandervliet, David Lampkin, Becky Lepley, Marilyn Marsh, Dakota Lawson, Bill Nummy, Helga Mortensen, John Milburn, Greg Dubois, Cindy Okarski, Keith Maurer, Beth Granberry, Grange Burnside, Faye Key, and the family of Jeff Duncan. O love of God, without which life has no meaning and no harbor, leave us not alone with our little lives, our broken dreams, our insistent problems, but invade our spirit with your vitality, that we may be renewed in all the ways of our lives, that we may turn from this place, this day, with all that is within us, washed and purified and refreshed. We seek this with simplicity of heart and with quiet faith and confidence that you would not deny your love to your children. And now we pray together those words that Jesus taught his first disciples, saying, Our Father, Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Come, ye gorgeous day. O brother, did I never see you?
Hear these words from the great African-American poet of the Harlem Renaissance, Langston Hughes. I dream a world where man no other man will scorn, where love will bless the earth and peace its paths adorn. I dream a world where all will know sweet freedom's way, where greed no longer saps the soul, nor avarice blights our day. A world I dream where black or white, whatever race you be, will share the bounties of the earth and every man is free. Where wretchedness will hang its head and joy, like a pearl, attends the needs of all mankind. Of such I dream my world. Langston Hughes again, the Negro speaks of rivers. I've known rivers. I've known rivers ancient as the world and older than the flow of human blood in human veins. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. I bathed in the Euphrates when dawns were young. I built my hut near the Congo, and it lulled me to sleep. I looked upon the Nile and raised the pyramids above it. I heard the singing of the Mississippi when Abe Lincoln went down to New Orleans, and I've seen the muddy bosom turn all golden in the sunset. I've known rivers, ancient, dusky rivers. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. Pray with me. God, you root those who trust you by the streams of healing water. Release us from the bonds of disease, free us from the power of evil, and turn us from falsehood and illusion, that we may find the blessing of new life in you through the power of Christ. Amen. Speaking of rivers, Howard Thurman says, "The fascination of the flowing stream is a constant source of wonder and beauty to the sensitive mind. The restless movement, the hurrying, ever-changing stream has ever been the bearer of the longings and the yearnings of humankind for land beyond the horizon and where dreams are fulfilled and deepest desires are satisfied." Do Thurman's words speak to you this morning? Have you ever found yourself fascinated by a river, sitting on its bank, wondering where it came from and where it was going, curious about what was carried on its surface and what lurked in its deepest waters? Have you ever considered a river as the bearer of your longings and yearnings? Has a river ever inspired dreams of fulfillment and satisfaction for you? Conjure an image of a river you have known and how it has spoken to you. What river would you sit beside, dreaming of where it might carry you if you let it? "I have known rivers," writes the great poet Langston Hughes, "rivers ancient as the world and older than the flow of human blood in human veins. The river sings and sings on. There is a true yearning to respond to the singing river," proclaims Maya Angelou. "The slave sings, 'Deep river, my home is over Jordan.'" Speaking of rivers seems to play an important role in African American thought. Thurman writes that for the slave, the river likely served as both the last and most formidable barrier to freedom and the gateway to that promised land where all is peace. It represented both life and death, hope and fear, possibility and prison. Thurman and others have observed that for the slave, heaven represented a better life. Perhaps they would only know that better life after death, but perhaps they might find their way to freedom in this life. Heaven, in all its glory, though, would eventually and inevitably provide a dwelling place for those who had been ripped from their homes in Africa and forced into slavery. We need to be clear that this image of heaven was not escapism for the slave. It was not a way of keeping them in chains, cooperating in their own enslavement for the time they were on this earth. Opportunities for freedom were few and far between, fraught with danger, punishment, even death if flight failed. Heaven then offered hope when temporal freedom seemed impossible. In his little book, The Negro Spiritual speaks of life and death. Thurman argues that the facts make clear that religion did serve to deepen the capacity of endurance and the absorption of suffering. What greater tribute could be paid to religious faith in general, he writes, and to their religious faith in particular than this? It taught people how to ride high in life, to look squarely in the face of those facts that argue most dramatically against all hope, and use those facts as raw material out of which they fashioned a hope that the environment, with all its cruelty, could not crush. Deep River. My home is over Jordan. I want to cross over into campground, Lord. Oh, don't you want to go to that gospel feast? That promised land where all is peace? Deep, deep, deep river. My home is over Jordan. Speaking of rivers, the prophet Jeremiah proclaims, "Blessed are those who trust in God, whose trust is in the Holy One. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when the heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit." A powerful word of hope for those who place their trust in God as the final arbiter of what is just and right, of what is liberating and indeed life-giving. Then John of Patmos tells us of the river of the water of life, brightest crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the city street. Remember, we talked a couple of weeks ago about the New Jerusalem, the holy city with streets of gold whose foundations and gates were made of precious jewels, the city in which God dwells with mortals, wiping every tear from their eyes, in which death will be no more, mourning and crying and pain will be no more. Right in the center of the glorious heavenly habitat runs the river of life, nourishing on either side the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, the leaves of which are for the healing of the nations. Life, like a river, is a process, always in flux, moving inexorably from its source to its goal. The river springs from sources hidden deep underground and flows with undaunted determination to the sea. This meme once appeared on my Facebook feed, a Sufi saying, "The ocean refuses no river." The ocean refuses no river. There is an undeniable link between the river and its goal. The vastness of the ocean accepts and embraces every river in a gesture of homecoming. And so it is with life, which springs from sources hidden deep in the heart of God and flows with undaunted determination back into God's oceanic depths, where God accepts and embraces creation in a grace-filled gesture of homecoming. Listening to the proclamation of the biblical truth and the good news of Jesus Christ, slaves heard and came to understand that regardless of the situation in which they found themselves, no matter how harshly or cruelly they were treated, they were children of God. Their lives flowed from God back to God. Thurman writes with untutored hands, with a sure artistry and genius created out of vast vitality, a concept of God was wrenched from the sacred book, the Bible, the chronicle of a people who had learned through great necessity the secret meaning of suffering. This total experience enabled them to reject annihilation and affirm a terrible right to live. The center of focus, he writes, was beyond themselves in a God who was a companion to them in their miseries, even as he enabled them to transcend those miseries. They came to believe that their journey on this earth might be a torturous one, but nothing, not even death, could separate them from the love of God. In truth, there was a sense in which death was that ultimate river they crossed to freedom and that better life in the heavenly city in which life itself flowed from the throne of a welcoming God. Still, we need to remember that heaven is not all about escaping this world. Remember that Christ taught us to pray as we did this morning, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In commenting on the 22nd and final chapter of Revelation, Mitchell Reddish writes of the end times, "To pray for the coming of Christ is to pray for God's triumph over sin, evil, and death. To pray for the parousia, that is, for God's presence, is to pray for a world of compassion, nonviolence, love, joy, and justice. To pray for the coming of God's kingdom is to pray that God's world will be healed and renewed. To sing Deep River is just such a prayer. The slave had heard the holy word and had a fundamental understanding of what was right and wrong in this world. They believed the ancient word that a day would come when things would be set right, when God's will would be done on earth as in heaven, when justice would roll down like a river and righteousness like a mighty stream. Yes, I have known rivers. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. And from that depth, I dream a world where no one another will scorn, where love will bless the earth and peace its paths adorn. I dream a world where all will know sweet freedom's way, where greed no longer saps the soul nor avarice blights our day. A world I dream where black or white, whatever race you be, will share the bounties of the earth and everyone is free. Where wretchedness will hang its head and joy like a pearl attends the needs of humankind. Of such a dream, of such I dream, of such I dream a world." Amen. At that time in our service where we share with this congregation and with the work of the kingdom, as we collect our morning offerings, the ushers will come. We do not only offer our gifts to you, but our community to all who are lonely, our hearts to all who are grieving, our hope to all who have lost their way, our lives to all who are tossed aside by the world. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you now to greet one another with the peace of this day. May the peace of Christ be with you and also with you. Oh, come on, this side today. Peace. Thank you for helping. It's great. It's great. This is my river. This is river. Oh, this, well, river. This is called River of Life. That's why I'm in my room today. Peace. 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 Peace, brother. gracious God sends us out to be a blessing. So with our hearts, we will sing God's praises. With our hands, we will serve God's people. Jesus, our brother, sends us to be with others. So we will comfort all whose hearts are troubled. We will go to help all those who cry out. The Holy Spirit, our advocate, sends us into a broken world. So we will work for justice for all who are oppressed. We will teach songs of hope to all who despair. And we will carry the light. Amen.